Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
I know this is a very formal setting, but we can lift each other up this evening, because after all, that is what this service is about. A service of worship to faithfully honor, celebrate, and remember this graduating class of 2014. So again, I bid you a good evening. And you're doing much better. Well, I have one brief announcement for you this evening. Again, on behalf of the senior class, welcome. But you wonder why you have this white sheet of paper. Well, everyone hold it up so I know you have one. Some of you are holding it higher than others. To those of you that are holding it higher, you probably would have gotten an A in seminary. Good. Well, I want to tell you what this white piece of paper is all about. Here in just a little while, you're going to be asked if you would write a prayer or a blessing for the graduates. And during a moment in our worship service, you will be invited to bring it forward and offer it up. Well, thank you for coming and joining us, and we look forward to worshiping with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for this hour, for the people gathered here in this place. We give thanks for each graduate here, for the blessing of restless hearts and inquisitive minds, for the blessing of deep friendship and transformative conversations, for the hours of reading and writing, and the moments when something, anything, finally made sense. We thank you for bringing us to this time of celebration, this beginning disguised as an end. We give thanks for those who have journeyed with us, loved ones close by, and loved ones further away. May we remember that we never travel alone. We give thanks for our professors, staff, and administrators who have walked with us, taught us, cajoled us, recruited us, prodded us, read with us, learned with us, laughed with us, and possibly at us, cried with us, and believed in us, and sometimes for us. May we remember that we have not come to this place tonight without the loving care of others. Finally, we remember that your love, Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We invite your light here now. May that light fill us to overflowing. Amen.
If you are able, please stand and take your blue hymnal worship book and turn to hymn number 6.
A reading from Jeremiah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The word of the Lord.
We like to be the center of attention. I must be honest with you tonight, as I was preparing for this, I spent a lot of time not sure what I was going to say, not sure what to say to a bunch of people who some are graduating and some are here to support. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about this imagery of water and being planted by water. And so I wondered specifically about this water and what kind of water that we are planted in. First thing that came to my mind was a song by Macklemore in which he warns us that when we preach, that if we preach hate at the service, those worms aren't anointed, and that this holy water that we soak in has been poisoned. And so I wondered if the world thought that we were planted by tainted water. And then I started thinking about these words from Amos chapter 5, in which God, through the prophet Amos, speaks words of complaint about the people's empty worship and their joyous hymns, as he says, he hates. And then he goes on to say that instead let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I started to think, now that sounds like water that we should be planted by. That as leaders of the church, that we are planted by waters of justice and righteousness. And that we are called to branch out and seek justice for those who have been treated with injustice and oppression. That means giving love to the children and people who have been neglected and abused. It means standing with those whose love is deemed wrong by others. It is speaking out against the oppressive systems that make lifelong criminals out of people who made a simple mistake. It is about feeding the hungry even when it means a $500 fine from the city for not having the right permit. It means welcoming and loving all who come across our paths and into our church, no matter their race, orientation, creed, religion, age, gender, socioeconomic class, intelligence, mental illness, or mental capacity. Because all people deserve respect and love and to hear the hope of Christ. And so my call to all of us this morning, especially those who are graduating and leading the church from here on out, is let us be planted with the waters of justice and of righteousness, that we may branch out to those in need and bear the true fruit of the kingdom now and forever. Amen.
Now, Ryan, I think you might have gone over your 3 minutes, but Mariah's kind of cute, so you get a pass. I don't know, I heard something about maybe classes of the past, everyone had at least 8 minutes to talk. Then I think they looked at the class this year and they were like, 3 is the max. We don't want you all to talk anymore. I see Lonnie smiling over there, so I think I might have caught on to something. A tree planted by water, rooted in God, fed by the Spirit, bearing fruit for the kingdom that Jesus set afoot. That's what we are supposed to be, a tree that bears fruit, a tree that will not wither. We must be rooted. And like Ryan, I began to roll this image around in my brain, and I kept coming back to a memory from my childhood. You see, I once planted a tree, and even though it was not planted by water, it was planted next to Mamaw and Papaw's house, which was as fruitful and flowing as a river. I was ecstatic to plant this tree. I'm pretty sure I got it in my second grade classroom. You know, they send all the children home with trees, knowing that pretty much all of them would kill the tree, and they come crying to class the next day. Anyways, I was excited to plant it and water it and watch it grow, and then it got as tall as I did, and I was like, yes, this tree is winning. I like to win. And I knew that one day it would tower over me. Maybe I would have a tire swing on its branches. I was really, really proud. But two neighborhood boys decided one day that they would take a pocket knife and strip my tree of its beautiful young bark. And even though my tree was well-rooted and fed by the steady influx of the goodness of my grandparents, it died. I was devastated. I cried my eyes out over this tree. Why did this happen? I demanded. Why? All the tree should need is its roots, a solid foundation, reinvigorating water, life-giving sunlight. But I think on that heart-wrenching day, I learned that trees also need to be protected from that which can destroy them. They cease to thrive when their fleshly trunks are pillaged or devoured. Yes, this story is a metaphor. As we graduates are to represent trees that have been planted by water, and as we move forward into God's vast creation, I wholeheartedly believe that our purpose is to help plant, water, nourish trees, and grow together with them. But perhaps, just perhaps, the best thing that we can do is to make sure not to kill them. The most important thing that we can realize is that no matter how rooted a tree is in Christ, no matter how much sustenance that tree receives, if we strip them of who they are, if we tear down the parts that aren't quite growing right, if we take our metaphorical pocket knives to their mortally sacred skin, we are truly not trees ourselves. Trees should not devour nor destruct other trees. So it is my impossible prayer that as leaders and provocateurs of the way of Jesus, that we stand as a tree among trees, with the recognition of how we can destroy, but also the recognition of how we can love and bear fruit. It is my call to all of us, graduates and those who are here supporting us, that we be trees that bear fruit and not trees that can destroy. Let it be so.
This evening, as we meet and worship together, and as our class theme is the tree that is planted by water, with its branches reaching out, bearing good fruit, and as I really meditated on this image, I too had questions. Questions that I direct to myself on this eve of our graduation, and I would be also remiss in saying that Ryan, Brittany, and I did not talk to each other before we got together. But it seems like this, at least for the three of us, are questions that we have about the future of our church and the future of our institutions. So here are the questions that I myself had to ask. I began with praying that we are truly people who are like trees, full of life with roots, sinking into ground that is worth sinking into. You see, in our sometimes our traditions have played their part in taking life away from others. Life that was not mine, life that is not yours. but life that was made in the image of God. Messages told to people that they don't matter. And the church has stood behind this. Roots are powerful. They burrow deep within the earth. They're strong and yet invisible, much like injustices in our society today. We have in church created roots of oppression, roots of injustice, and roots of hate. We have used Christ sometimes not as a vehicle of love, but some have misrepresented Jesus to do great harm. We have used the scriptures to commit acts of terrorism, to support racism, sexism, homophobia, and classism, among other isms. And I pray this night that we graduates aren't becoming a part of a system that perpetuates these isms. So I question our roots. I question where our roots are when people find hate in church and in the sermons that are preached. I question our roots when people can't come as they are, when white patriarchy is celebrated and deeply rooted in our being, where we dismiss a group of people by declaring that one issue ought not to overtake the church. God, I pray with all of my heart that we truly are mature practitioners, discerning communicators, wise interpreters, and transformational leaders, that we bear fruit worth bearing, that we sow grace where there is hatred, that we sow jubilee instead of slavery, where we sow love instead of prejudice, that we show Christ instead of bigotry. May we truly be transformational leaders, like the faculty and we as a graduating class believe that one another are. I pray that we live up to the supposed learning that we've taken away from Eastern Mennonite Seminary. All of us, I believe, are truly transformational leaders, and I pray that this evening is only the beginning of us being the tree that's planted by water. May we allow God's love to flow through us so that in the end, the hate that some have used the church to excuse is gone. You see, the world needs transformational leaders so that the hungry have food, the thirsty have refreshment, the stranger and the immigrant are fully included, the naked are clothed in love, the sick are given comfort, peace, and grace, the prisoner is visited instead of persecuted, the oppressed be given justice. Society's least of these have an opportunity to be given places of leadership, that the gays and lesbians can teach at our institutions and lead our churches, and yes, that the kingdom of God can reign. Transformational leaders in that way, in ways worth bearing the fruit that is worth sharing. But we have that choice if we would like to continue in the ways of some who have been oppressive, or if we truly can be transformational disciples and leaders of the people that Jesus has called us to. I believe that we truly are that, that the faculty believes this, and that our friends and family who's gathered here today, that they too believe this. Because it's only with love and with the peace and with the grace of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, that we can hope to be transformational. On this graduation eve, may we earnestly pray that God uses all of us to love God and one another and to truly bring about the kingdom of God here in this world. Amen.
As a hymn of response, I invite you to take the Black Faith We Sing and turn to song 2130, 2130, and please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
As a class, we purchased the Feasting on the Word commentary set as a gift to the seminary to be used in the study room, which is downstairs in this building, for future students. It is a set that follows the lectionary year and provides or offers four different essays from many, many different voices for each of the lectionary texts. So in that way, it demonstrates our multi-voiced class. And our prayer is that God would bless these books and the students that use them for the building up of God's kingdom.
As the class has just blessed the seminary, it is now that time in our evening where they ask us to come to this tree here and offer our words of blessing and our prayers. And so I invite you now to take the white sheet that you received when you came in this evening and offer words of blessing and prayers. And as you come, you will find a basket here beside these trees where you can offer your words. Come now. I invite you to join me now in praying this prayer adapted from Wendell Berry's poem, The Peace of Wild Things. Lord, we need the peace of wild things. God, grant us the grace that when despair for the world grows in us, and we awake in the night at the least sound in fear of what our lives and our children's lives may be. I pray that we would go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I pray that we would come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I pray that we would come into the presence of still water, and that we may feel above us the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, we might rest in the grace of the world. And I pray that we might be free. Amen.
I invite you to stand once again and take Hymnal Worship Book and turn to page 478. 478.
Graduates have spoken highly, words like justice and liberation. And so I thought it only appropriate that we consider words that were read at a great man of justice, a liberationist, Oscar Romero. So I invite you to hear these words by Bishop Ken Utner that was read at the memorial of Bishop of Father Oscar Romero. The poem is called The Long View. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development.
We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enabled us to do something and do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and to do the rest. And so now I invite you to stand and receive these words of benediction. Now go. And as you go, go taking the long view, knowing that the loving eyes of God, our perfect parent, sacrificial son, and sustaining spirit are upon you always, now and forever. Amen.